Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm well. It's a beautiful day.
It sure is.
Lower Columbia Pacific neighborhood, wherever you are out there on the other end of the radio. I hope it's a beautiful day for you, too. It's kind of distractingly beautiful.
Yeah.
We're putting some together, you know, like more than one in a row.
Yes.
I feel really lucky.
Yeah, it was gorgeous yesterday, too. Yeah. Easter.
I know.
Are you making egg salad today?
I'm not. No. Before we start talking about food, I think we should take a second to thank everybody who really rose to the occasion during Spring Pledge Drive when Food Talk got moved to a different day and a different time, and we had an extended show, and people really... I worried that nobody would find us.
Well, I was so worried because we started at 9, and I thought people would just tune in at 9:30 and then be like, what, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how it played out, but I know that the people answering phones, excuse me, I have a frog, were busy, and folks really did step up and support their radio station. So we want to say thank you to all of you.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have 7 listeners and we had 10 prizes and we gave them all away. And there were people who didn't get prizes.
I know. That's right. So congratulations to all the folks who won the fabulous prize drawing. To everyone for the entire week of Pledge Drive, thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's critical that we all step up, and any time is an appropriate time. Not everybody's budget or time availability is in sync with Pledge Drive. So whenever you want to do it, KMUN.org, click donate and help keep your radio station alive.
Yeah, it was just so great. Just that the turnout was so great. Thank you so, so much.
Yes, thank you, all of you.
You know, one of my favorite things that ever happened was I was at a party, and this is a few years ago, and somebody asked me who writes our scripts.
They should be fired immediately. Whoa.
That was so funny.
Who writes our scripts?
This is a little bit extraneous? No.
Extemporaneous?
I couldn't think of the word, and I should probably think of words before I say them, huh?
Why start now? I say, it's all ad lib all the time.
Yes.
I mean, in fact, Linda and I wander into the air room a few minutes before the program goes on the air, and we talk about everything except Food Talk.
Because
we're saving
it for you guys.
Yeah.
All 7 of you.
We're about to find out whether it was worthy of saving.
Yes.
I wonder what you've been cooking.
Well, it has been lovely. And I love to grill, and I'll grill in bad weather, but it's just so much more pleasant to grill when there's no deluge,
you know? When it's light outside.
Yes, when it's light, and then also when you're not doing the slip and slide across the ice on the deck, you know, all those just make it a lot better. And so when you think of chicken fingers, I mean, I think of kid food, right?
Yeah.
It's the tender, you know, the chicken tender. And it's just, it's part of the breast, but it's part of the breast that has a little membrane around it and it'll come off. But I really like them. And so, and I love turkey tenderloins too. Same thing, an anatomically analogous.
Whoa.
Put that in your funkin' Wagnall. Anyway, so if I am not making food for a party, I generally do not make skewers. Why? Because I don't want to thread all that stuff and get all goopy and you know, it takes a lot of time. I just cut the pieces big enough that I can grill them.
Yeah.
And so I made some satay, some curry chicken, theoretically skewers, and a peanut sauce to dip them in. And all I did is I took the chicken tenders and I cut them in half.
Okay.
And so I grilled that long half a finger, and they were really good because normally I use breast meat. I cut it pretty thin, and then I kind of wave it, make a wave shape and put it on the skewer.
Oh, right.
But breast meat always dries out, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that these were thick enough that that they didn't suck.
They were good.
Yeah.
And do you, you marinate it or anything, or do you season it?
Yeah, so I marinate it, you know, oil and, lemon juice, curry. No, I think I use lime juice, curry, and salt and pepper, not a lot of stuff, maybe a little bit of sambal. And then I think that in the future, I'm going to put a little bit of sugar in there. I think they'll grill up better. And I think it was a little, just a little tart. I think that a little bit of sugar, a little bit of brown sugar, or a little bit of honey would have really helped it. And then the peanut sauce, I just take, because I'll usually also, if I'm making that, I'll do salad rolls the same week. And then I'll make peanut sauce for both of them. So I take a can of coconut milk and a decent amount of peanut butter, sort of one-to-one, but maybe there's a little more coconut milk. Hoisin sauce, and then sambal, soy sauce, lots of garlic, lots of ginger. And then I just heat it up enough that it'll you know, whisk together and not separate. And then I just really like that sauce a lot.
Yeah, that's so, that's good on everything.
Yeah, yeah. And so I made the satay, and then I made later salad rolls. And I didn't put any noodles in them because I didn't have any. But I usually put the glass noodles in them. Yeah, that you boil. And they were fine without the noodles. It was just pretty much like a salad, you know.
Right.
So cucumber and carrots and scallions and basil and cilantro. And
do you do egg strips, you know, like scrambled eggs, only you leave it flat in a pan? Do you do that?
No, I never have. I usually do barbecued Chinese pork.
Oh,
but I had some satay that I had specifically grilled enough that I would have some left for those, so I just stuck
perfect
half a little chicken finger in each one. And then those that I serve with the peanut sauce or and the sweet chili sauce, I like that.
Uh-huh.
And so that was really good. But then I still had some peanut sauce left. And so I just made some noodles and put the peanut sauce on, and that was pretty much all. I had some scallions. That was it. And that was good, too.
Yeah, I bet it was.
So it was peanut sauce week at the Perkins house.
I love that. Make one thing and use it.
Yeah.
You know, it makes the whole rest of the week easier to have that taken care of.
And that kind of thing requires thinking.
Oh, and, see, no, I'm not.
And so normally, what I do is rather than make one thing, I'll make a lot of one thing and then I put 7/8 of it in the freezer. And then I have it for another day. But that requires no thinking.
That's excellent.
I know. It's not like, how will I use this chicken tomorrow? It's like, how will I use this chicken in September?
When I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Oh.
What have you been cooking? Anything?
I've been cooking. I don't know that I have anything remarkable to report.
Earth-shattering.
We had a really good piece of salmon last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and just simple. I baked it instead of pan-fried it, but I, you know, just did a butter. I did ghee, actually, and garlic. And some good squeeze of Meyer lemon and some fresh dill, and just kind of laid it in a little puddle of that and then flipped it over once halfway through. It was good. It was good. And we had mashed potatoes and peas with it.
Oh,
I had leftover mashed potatoes.
The lemons are named after you.
Well, they don't know how to spell it. I don't know. And then I've been making big honkin' salads because, oddly, I like leftover salad, and I will have that for breakfast. So I've been making a lot of big salads, but I didn't feel like doing that last night, so we just had a sliced Bosque pear and some Campazola cheese. It was good.
Oh, nice.
The pears are getting really good.
Yeah.
Even though I know that Bosque are really you think of them as winter pears, but they're just delicious.
Yeah, they really are. What is your go-to when you said, I baked it instead of pan-fried? Is pan-frying your go-to method for cooking salmon?
Yeah, because it's fast.
Okay.
It's really fast.
Because mine is grilling.
I just
like it outside, and then I like the house not to smell like cooked fish.
Right, right.
Although salmon's not that bad when you cook it.
Yeah. I actually, if I was making salmon just for myself, I would cook it and then stick it in the fridge and then do some bowls with it over the next several days, because it's just so good. Like tuna is so good in a bowl.
Decades ago, I worked in a French restaurant, and one of my favorite things we made was a niçoise with poached salmon.
Ooh.
And so I love salmon on a poached, on a niçoise salad, but it doesn't have to be poached. It's good poached on a salad.
It's really good poached. I haven't thought about doing poached fish for a long time.
I even have a poached fish, like, pan, you know?
It
goes across two burners, and you can stick the whole fish in there.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that?
How often do you use that?
Well, once every 10 years.
I like a whole fish. I like a whole fish stuffed, you know, but... I live in a household with one other person who's not huge. He loves salmon. Mm-hmm. In fact, yesterday was all salmon all day because
salmon oatmeal.
I was out of eggs in the morning, and so he got salmon, you know, salmon cream cheese, onion bagel, and he loves that for breakfast. I mean, that's a great breakfast. Mm-hmm. But then. I looked in the fridge when I was getting ready to think about something for dinner, and I was like, oh, I got the salmon that specifically to cook that night because you want to, you know, you want to cook it.
You don't
want to
save it for Thursday.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So I was just like, okay, you're getting your week's worth of omegas right now today.
Well, and if I want a whole fish, I just go to a Chinese restaurant. I don't think I ever really cook a whole fish, you know.
Yeah.
I really go to a Chinese restaurant. Because they're so good and they're different, you know.
Yeah, delicious.
Yeah, something different.
Oh, delicious. Yeah, yeah. I had great whole fish cooked a variety of ways a million years ago when I was visiting friends in Brazil. And every household that we visited knew really how to do great whole fish in a variety of ways. And octopus. Ooh, wow. Anyway, it's spring, and there's getting to be ever more fruits and veg.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Yeah. And first and foremost, lettuces. Just pretty soon, you know?
Yeah. I'm seeing the local mixes coming out now.
Really?
Yes. I saw some yesterday.
I hadn't seen anything. You know what, though? I bet I haven't been out for like a week looking for anything. So, that's such good news. Yay!
I know. And I'm checking the Food Web's Thursday market thing for local producers every week to see what's going on with veg because I'm ready. I'm always ready a little bit before the veg is ready. I'm in the mood. Come on, let's get going.
Why haven't you grown yet?
I was just, before you got here this morning, I was looking through my phone recipes because I realized that I'm really bored with the five or six things I predictably do for breakfast. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I have not been doing is baked things like a strata or a casserole or something.
Okay.
Which, as we were just talking about, gives you more than one meal.
Yes.
And so that is hugely appealing. So I think I'm going to try a strata. I used to make them all the time when I had more people to cook for.
Yes, yes. Well, I wonder if they would freeze, because like a frittata freezes just perfectly.
Yeah, I don't see why they wouldn't, although strata has bread in it.
Yeah, I just don't know.
I don't know either. But a frittata would be great.
Yeah.
And I don't know if something like, you know, there's the famous tater tot casserole.
Yeah. But potatoes don't generally freeze very good. So
yeah.
I don't know if I would try to freeze that. I don't know, though. I don't know for sure. I'm genuinely surprised at how many things will freeze really well. And I mean, thaw really well.
Yeah.
There's a song in there. Estrada, frittata, remember that you ought to eat your eggs. La, 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 la.
Lyrics by.
Go ahead, you just guess.
We're stumped. I want to take I don't know if this is the perfect time to remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. If you have not gone to those two websites, I just don't know what more I can say to you because they're fabulous and worthy of your time. KMUN.org, NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. Just go. You'll be sorry.
Yeah.
You'll be sad.
You'll be
sad if we're back on in 2 weeks and you haven't gone.
We're putting you on a list.
Do yourself a favor.
There's five on one list and two on the other. All seven of you.
Hey, I do know that one of the folks who called in during pledge drive on Food Talk, claimed to be, it was one of the folks who won a drawing. And when I called to notify them of that, they claimed to be one of our seven.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty cool, huh?
I know.
You know, our seven generally really step up, and I really appreciate that. That's great. Very, very appreciated.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
We the community has figured out that there's no, you know, the cavalry is not coming to our rescue here at Community Radio and so many other things. Mm-hmm. And so if we value something, we have to support it.
Yeah.
And I'm heartened by the fact that everybody gets it.
Yeah.
You know, y'all get it. So smart.
So I am nothing if not thrifty.
Really?
Yes, yes. So there are things that I shop for after holidays.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and it's meat, because meat is so expensive. The thing that I shop for after Easter are racks of pork. Have you ever cooked one?
No.
I just love them. First of all, they're not very expensive to start with. So it is anatomically analogous to the prime rib on beef or rack of lamb.
All right.
Lamb. So it's, I think, eight bones together.
Okay.
And it has, what it essentially is the pork loin, the good end of it with the bones still on it. And so I really don't do anything except grill it. I really, really like it grilled. So what I do is it takes a long time to cook on a grill. I mean, like at least an hour, and that's a lot of propane. So I will generally cut it in half, and two things happen. It cooks faster, and then also you get four end chops that have the grill marks on them. And so I'll generally start them. Okay, so I put oil on it. I brush it with oil, salt and pepper, and then I make a pea stew. So I essentially use a lot of fresh basil, a little bit of fresh thyme, but it can be dried thyme too. The basil has to be fresh. And then olive oil, salt and pepper, and a decent amount of garlic. And then I'll brush just a little bit of that on there to start with, because it's going to get pretty crusty or pretty, you know, dark. And so then I generally start it bone side down, just in case there's a big flare up there that my grill isn't going right, or my grill is going to be a crematorium that day. You know, sometimes they just decide that. So I put it down, and then in about 10 minutes, I'll flip it over to the fat side. And I've got my grill on about a medium heat. I use a propane grill. And then I'll turn it to one side, one flat side, you know, one chop side, and then the other chop side. And I just grill it until it's done. And at any point when it starts to look a little dry, like it doesn't have an oil sheen to it, then I'll brush some more of that stuff on there. And then towards the end, I'm brushing that on like every 5 minutes, because I want a fresher tasting herb crust on there. I don't want the cremated crust on there. And so it takes about an hour to cook them, but they're really, really delicious. And they're very rustic looking. You know, it's a bunch of bones stuck together, and there's all these hatch marks on them. And when I flip them, I'd be sure turn them 90 degrees so that you get grill marks that are hatch marks.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really delicious way. But I shop for those after Easter, you know, like after Valentine's Day. I shop for tomahawk steaks, you know, those long bone ribeye steaks, because they have those for, it feeds 2 or 9, whatever you think, but two at least. And they have those out for sale for Valentine's Day, and then they always discount them after. And then, of course, turkeys. It's hard to buy a whole turkey anytime except Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And I love turkey. And then if there's any of the really good organic free-range turkeys left after Thanksgiving, they get discounted, and then I don't have to take out a mortgage. And then prime rib after Christmas, especially the ones that are seasoned already. And I can deal with that. You know, it doesn't taste bad, and it's not what I do, but it's just fine if it's
what is it
discounted. It's usually just like some store seasoning
marinade
mix,
thing
or no seasoning mix usually just put on there real heavy, and anyway, but I always shop for prime rib after Christmas, because usually what's left is discounted. And so that's me being cheap about meat. But
well, do you find that eggs are on sale after Easter?
They should be, huh? Or I think that No.
I don't know how much extra stock stores put up for eggs at Easter time, but yeah, I imagine some more than normal. I don't know.
I remember being one year, it was Easter at Costco, near Easter, and somebody had dropped an entire speed rack, like a giant tall, like 6 foot rack,
gosh,
just full of eggs, and it was like on the ground. All the eggs were on the ground.
Oh my gosh.
And then the rack was on its side, you know, and I just thought, wow, that is such a bad mistake, you know.
That's and a really gnarly cleanup. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because egg whites, that's true.
Yeah, I know. You just got it. Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll have something that needs a lot of egg yolks, you know, like I'm trying to think, like maybe pot au creme or what else do I use a lot of egg yolks for? Come on, Linda. Oh, well. Anyway, and I'll have a bunch of egg whites just sitting by the counter, and then Dale will pour them down the sink, and I'm like, oh, because that's just a clog. You know, that's all that is. It catches onto something like the bottom of a, you know, S-pipe or something, and oh, Lord, that was always like the worst possible thing you could do in a restaurant.
I wonder if you, can you freeze egg whites?
I don't know.
Because you can buy they're just in the dairy section, though, so they're not frozen. I just wonder because I tend to not save them unless I have an actual thing in mind.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, they just sit in the back of the fridge.
Well, and then there's things for me like eggs so often in a recipe can be the leavening, you know? And in baked recipes. And then I know that there are people who freeze eggs, like they crack them and then freeze them whole.
Oh.
But it's just not something I'm willing to do because there are so many expensive ingredients that go into something I bake. And if I am cheap and freeze the egg whites and then they are maybe 80% effective, that just really affects the outcome of my of what I'm making. And the same thing, I mean, I buy new every 6 months baking soda and baking powder. Do I waste some? Yes, I do. But I am not willing to have it partially effective in what I'm making. Like, what if what came to the store was sort of old when it was packaged? I'm not gonna take that risk for the very small amount that I put in each thing. If it fails, it fails mightily, you know?
Yeah.
So I am careful with those things. So no, I've never tried to freeze eggs. Also, freezer space is at such a premium. It's just eggs are so cheap. Not really, but I mean pretty cheap.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's...
They're very close to the cheapest protein, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want really top-of-the-line tofu, it's pretty expensive.
Well, and then what I do normally, if I have leftover egg yolks or egg whites, is I just cook them up for the dogs.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They really like them.
Yeah. When I was cooking for my dogs, I used to always put a scrambled egg in with their other stuff. And they loved that. But it turns out that my... all those years of cooking for the dogs was not nearly as well balanced and nutritious as, you know, the other people cooking for my dogs. So that's okay. I'm not insulted.
But still, you can cook them little egg treats.
Yeah.
No, we cook the dogs' eggs every time I make eggs for breakfast.
Do you?
Yeah. They're like, woohoo, breakfast.
I know. They love eggs.
And I think they're good for them.
They love anything that comes out of a pan in the kitchen.
They'll eat stuff that comes out of a goose in the yard. You know, just anything that it's awful. It's not like it's
We're
like...
We're not talking pate right there. No.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
like,
well, they're dogs.
I know.
They're just...
It's not like it's a testament to my cooking. Oh, look, they're eating the eggs. I've never had a picky dog.
I know. Me either.
They are as indiscriminate as a mailbox. Everything that comes.
Well, I haven't been to the store to see what's new this day, but when I was there a few days ago, I saw beautiful bunches of red carrots with beautiful tops on them. I saw still really pretty darn good selection of citrus. I always mourn a little bit the end of citrus season.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things about fall and winter is all that stuff.
Yeah.
But there's still like mounds of Meyer lemons, which I think are, you know, the best lemon, I think.
No, they're really delicious.
Yeah, they really are. And for what I use them for, which basically is just juice in things that aren't even necessarily cooked, they're mm-hmm. just like the best flavor.
That's when you want the best flavor.
That's right. And the zest, which is really almost, it's like orange yellow or yellow orange. It's got that really dark yellow color. Beautiful.
How do you think the zest compares in potency to regular lemons?
I think regular lemons probably are zestier somehow.
They have a bigger punch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely. I really like lime zest.
Yeah, I do too.
It's so good. Yeah. I think I really prefer limes, and I always have a couple in the fridge because if I'm needing some citrus, I will often mm-hmm. lean toward a lime rather than a, and especially Asian flavors mm-hmm. almost always call for lime instead of lemon.
My friend Georgia has a coleslaw recipe, and I know I've repeated it on here before, but it's so delicious. So you take, it's lime and apple are the major flavors. And so you take about a cup of mayonnaise. I think you mix in about 3 tablespoons of sugar, and then the juice of 1 lime, and I'll use the zest of that same lime, a handful of celery seeds, and then some cracked pepper, you know, so just so you see uh-huh. it in there rather than the fine ground pepper. And then you mix that up, and then she just uses that shredded bagged coleslaw.
Okay.
Mix.
Yeah.
And then, but the other thing you do is you put apple in there, and the apple you cut into matchsticks. And for some reason, the size of them matters for the coleslaw. They're just really good that way. So you take half an apple and you take the core out and you lay it down on your board. And then you just cut it as thinly as you can one way, unless you're getting ridiculous. But, you know, I mean, you should have at least 15 or 20 cuts across the apple. So you go, and you go across the apple. And then you turn it 90 degrees. It's still flat on the board. And then you do the same thing. And then you've got like, what's that like? 200 matchsticks, and then you do that with the other half of the apple. And so for about a pound or a pound and a half of the cabbage mix, it's 1 or 2 apples, and then maybe that much dressing, and you might have to make more, I don't know. But it's really, really good, really refreshing, and it's just so nice to have lime in coleslaw rather than, you know, lemon, or it's usually vinegar.
It's usually white vinegar.
Yeah. And it's just a really, really good fresh flavor, really delicious.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
I just bought a whole cabbage. As you may or may not remember, when we were talking with one of our Pledge Drive guests on Food Talk, Dulcie Taylor was talking about her newly discovered love of cabbage.
Yeah.
And I have been making sure I have some cabbage in the fridge all the time.
I know it's so funny because you always shred your own cabbage, and that is better. And I always buy the shredded stuff because I am lazy.
I know.
Cheap. We've learned today, thrifty, not cheap, thrifty and lazy. Does she have any redeeming characteristics? No. Well, I can, I mean, sometimes sing.
Yes, you can sing.
How's that for a segue?
And we are almost out of time, so I would ask you to sing if you are of a mind to sing us out. And also, once again, thank you everyone for supporting the radio station. If you haven't had a chance yet, think about doing it, would you? It is a very worthy investment.
Yeah. I'm driving my vegetables, I'm driving my green edibles. Oh, I started low. Driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, I'm driving my cauliflower. Fibonacci broccoli, driving a bushel of corn home.
Thank you, Linda.
Bye, Marianne. Thank you.
Bye.